This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
11 o'clock, it's Three Man Front on a holiday week. We will be here every single day except Thursday. We'll be here Wednesday. We'll be here tomorrow.
There's some people on our staff that would rather be here on Thursday just so they don't have to do the family thing.
I don't know.
Don't answer that or speculate who it could be. But you're right. Just Thursday. We're back at it. The grind.
We will have the Iron Bowl, of course, right here on Jocks 94.5. We've got a bunch of basketball coming up this week, a lot of holiday tournaments. Matter of fact, this afternoon on Jocks 2, you can hear UAB as the Blazers are in Florida. So the next two afternoons will be UAB basketball.
And down in Daytona Beach, taking on South Florida, a team that's a pesky South Florida team if you got to watch them play Auburn earlier this season. But that's a South Florida team. I did notice, what UAB was able to do, and Jelly Walker maybe message received. I know Eric Gaines in their last game went against Presbyterian, went for 16 points. Jelly goes for 15, but that UAB basketball team, I think there was a lot of frustration, not only with the turnovers that they had versus Toledo in the Barstool Classic, but also the lack of getting some of those bigs inside for Andy Kennedy. So UAB is still very, very talented, and this is the preseason, right? It's still the preseason. You think Coach K you think Kentucky fans are happy with Coach Cal after getting their just drug by Gonzaga?
This was a bad weekend if you're a Kentucky sports fan, because you had the basketball team lose by 16 points to Gonzaga. They're now 3-2 on the season. You lose to Georgia 16-6. It was a very competitive game. I mean, Kentucky had a 99-yard drive at one point in that football game against Georgia. Georgia's now the first SEC team to go undefeated in conference play in consecutive seasons since Alabama did it back in 2008 and 2009. Georgia now has 19 straight wins in conference. The Georgia defense now has allowed 163 points in conference play in their last two seasons. The best two-year span in the history of the SEC was Bama back in 2011 and 2012, which was slightly better than the Georgia defense the last 2 years. Kenny McIntosh, career high, 143 rushing yards against Kentucky. And the reason I'm bringing this game up is because it started leaking out yesterday that Mark Stoops has signed a contract extension at the University of Kentucky through June of 2031. Would you like to take a guess at when he signed that contract?
I'm going to say, well, I know he got one at the end of last year, right?
He signed his extension on November the 11th, a day before they lost to Vanderbilt. So he signs the contract extension that will now pay him $8.6 million a year. That is a $2.3 million raise from what he was making beforehand. He is now making more than John Calipari at the University of Kentucky.
Was it effective like the day he signed it, or has he been under it in the year? Or I just wonder if day one kicks in when he lost.
I don't know, but he signed it on November 11th, the day before he lost to Vanderbilt.
Mm.
A $2.3 million raise for Mark Stoops.
I mean, if you're ever going to lose, that's probably the day to go and sign and make sure. That, I mean, this way they can't take it back.
He's on the phone with his agent. Hey, this has all been notarized, right? I mean, we're good.
Yeah.
I mean, is this official? Official?
Well, you look at Kentucky this year, and that will be no easy feat, knocking off Louisville at Kroger Field on Saturday. But that would put them at 7-5. If they don't get that win, you're looking at 6-6, and you're still going to go to a bowl. But, you know, for what he's been able to do at Kentucky and, you know, winning not only double-digit games, but I think he's consistently, here in the last few years, he's had them around that 8-win mark, at least, is kind of the minimum. He had a little bit of a down year, but that is the new SEC for sure. Did you see the quarterback commitment from Florida? Mm-hmm. Marcus Stokes, who played at Nice. I don't know if some of you missed this, but Florida has now revoked their offer to him. Marcus Stokes, he's a kid, 6'1", A very talented quarterback there out of the state of Florida. Of course, you'll remember who played for Nice.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Tim Tebow.
Mr. Tim Tebow. And he was actually seen on social media riding around in his car. He was singing along to a rap song, and the video appeared online, and what he was singing to, a racial slur, was used. So Florida has confirmed that they, because of their social media guidelines, what they have in place there, that that offer was no longer valid for him to play. Now, I will look and remind folks that Jaden Rashada, who was the highly coveted recruit out of the state of California, Pittsburgh, California, he was committed to Miami and reportedly was going to get a $9.5 million NIL. He decommitted and then committed to Florida, and it was speculated that he was going to get around $11 to $11.5 million deal NIL to go and play for the Gators. So all is not lost. You still have a very talented and very wealthy, apparently, Jaden Rashada that's going to be coming in. It's wild to think about, isn't it?
Kids, just don't turn the phone on. Just do not video yourself at all.
No.
Doing anything.
Absolutely not. The flu season's here. You got to make your home healthier with the Train Clean Effects Home Air Cleaner. It removes up to 99.9% of airborne particles, including those that cause virus, 100 times more effective than standard air filters, and it's 8 times more effective than HEPA room filters. Contact a Train certified dealer for the Clean Effects Air Cleaner.
Joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline, talk about all things that are Alabama Crimson Tide as we get ready for the Iron Bowl coming up this weekend, is Mike Rodak from AL.com. Joins us now on Three Man Front. Mike, I hope you're doing well as we get ready for Thanksgiving and also the big game on Saturday in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, definitely doing well. It's always one of the busiest weeks out of the year between the Iron Bowl and basketball tournament and, you know, soccer teams in the NCAA tournament. So no rest for the weary this week, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. Well, let's start the first things first. No big surprise. Alabama rested a lot of guys, some bumps and bruises from folks. What are you hearing? Let's start with Jahmyr Gibbs. Anything for Alabama fans to be worried about his availability coming up on Saturday?
Doesn't sound like it. I mean, he'll be back to practice today is what Saban said. You know, it's a case of, I'd say it's a pretty good bet this could be his last game in an Alabama uniform. I think, you know, obviously he has a decision to make in terms of playing in a bowl game. I would say, you know, being a junior who's projected to be borderline first round pick, he's, I think, generally considered the second best running back in this draft. You know, he's more than likely going to come out. I'd be surprised if Jahmyr Gibbs comes back for another year. So it's just a question of, does he play in the bowl game or not? And if, you know, he has an injury, obviously that kind of gives you a little extra reason not to, perhaps. But in terms of playing in this game, you know, just kind of get through it. And unless there's a setback this week, I would expect him to play.
Mike, you mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs and what we can expect, you know, leaving the Ole Miss game with the injury there in the first half. We did not expect him to play versus Austin Peay. What are your thoughts on the likelihood of seeing Jahmyr Gibbs? And if he is able to go, what would your speculation be on how healthy that ankle is?
Yeah, you know, I saw him walking around a little bit on the sideline of the game, the Austin Peay game on Saturday, and it looked like there's a little bit of a hitch in his step, but it's not like he was in a walking boot as a couple other players were. It's not like he was, you know, crutches or anything. So it doesn't seem like it was any sort of like severe high ankle sprain, anything like that. More just a twisted ankle is even the way that Saban worded it. So, you know, it is a case of, for Alabama, like Jace McGowan's playing really well running back for him. I think he gives them that kind of a harder nose style that Gibbs probably doesn't between the tackles, because Gibbs is such of that outside the tackles, you know, throw it to him in space and have him make guys miss, where McClellan has been able to kind of get that interior running game going a little bit better than it has really throughout the entire season. So maybe just in terms of trying to establish that could be something where they turn to McClellan more so, even if Gibbs is healthy, just give the ball to McClellan and have him run up the middle. And, you know, the results have been pretty good for him the last couple of weeks.
In regards to the injuries, and perhaps Nick Saban will touch on that coming up in about 50 minutes from now. You can hear that right here on Jocks 94.5 on the Matt McLaren Show, is Tyler Steen. I think more people probably more concerned about his injury coming up on Saturday because of that left tackle position, because we've seen Bryce Young take a couple really good pops when that position is maybe out of pocket or perhaps not even available. What are you hearing on Tyler Steen and his left knee?
Yeah, that one I think will be more of a question mark because it's fresher, you know, whereas Gibbs and Ricks and you know, Latu, I guess, you know, were hurt a little bit earlier. This one had just happened on Saturday. And, you know, might be a little bit of a stretch to get him back and get him ready in practice and then get him ready to go on Saturday. So I would have more of a question mark on that. With that said, I think Amari Kite played pretty well for him, for Alabama at left tackle in this past game. And, yeah, there were some issues with Bryce getting hit, not just that play. I think he had three total sacks. There's a few plays where Bryce, was, as he does, kind of runs around a little bit. And once things break down and if you're tackled behind the line of scrimmage, technically that's a sack. So, you know, whether or not it was the left tackle's fault, it's hard to say. But another one of those things, too, where just like Gibbs is going out for the draft, I mean, Steen doesn't have any eligibility left because he didn't redshirt at Vanderbilt in 4 years, and then he used his COVID year to come to Alabama for a fifth year. But he's out of years at this point, so it's the end of the road for him. I don't know. You know, he might be more of a very late-round, undrafted sort of guy in the NFL. But it does give you a chance to kind of look at what you have at tackle for next year. And my guess right now, sitting here in November, is we'll probably see J.C. Latham play left tackle next year. But they do have Amari Kite. They do have Tommy Brockemeyer, who finally got on the field a little bit in this past game. So they have some options at tackle, but maybe a position too, where they kind of look in the transfer portal like they did last offseason and see if they can find a veteran guy out there.
Mike Rodak, who covers the Alabama Crimson Tide for AL.com, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. I know that last year Alabama was around a 20.5-point favorite heading to Jordan-Hare. This year, I think currently it's at 21. Honestly, I was surprised, like a lot of other people were, that it went to multiple overtimes in that game. You look at it, how it sets up this year, besides the whole rivalry factor and the cliche, throw the record books out the window. What about this Auburn team, especially of late, would be the most concerning, in your opinion, Mike, for Alabama and Nick Saban?
I think if they can get the running game going, you know, that could be somewhat of an issue between Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter. I think there's, you know, the possibility you can kind of run against this Alabama defense. Saban's talked about them losing Justin Aboigbe along the defensive line, where he had that neck injury that essentially ended his season, I want to say about a month ago now. And Saban said that their run defense has, you know, fallen off a little bit. I think the LSU game was somewhat of an example of that, you know, more of the quarterback runs in some cases. But, you know, I can picture in my mind Auburn putting together a few drives where they're moving the ball on the ground. I don't know if this is a team that's going to be, you know, throwing deep against Terry and Arnold as, you know, Tennessee did, or throwing deep against the safeties. That's not really their MO as much, but I can see them kind of piecing together some drives with some 6, 7, 8 yard runs and, you know, making something happen on that. And I don't think it's a stretch. But I can also see, you know, this Alabama defense just shutting them down and kind of having that lower scoring game that, you know, last year was really up until the end.
Talking to Mark Rodak, who joins us, courtesy of AL.com on the Bud Light Hotline. Let me ask you, and this is purely speculative, and I know great reporters like yourself, you don't like to speculate, but I'm just curious if you've heard the same buzz I have heard in regards to the staff moving forward. I understand that maybe the special teams coordinator may not be back next year for Alabama. We all anticipate that Bill O'Brien will maybe exercise some NFL options. Maybe some analysts might go with him, possibly even back to New England. Are we talking about a majority of this staff turnover, in your opinion, Mike, or do you believe that only a couple guys will leave the staff?
I would lean more towards a couple, and I agree with you that I think of the two coordinators, I think the much more likely one who's not here next year is Bill O'Brien. You can kind of start to pick up on that, you know, in some of the comments that Saban's made publicly, and certainly he's been more hesitant, shall we say, to praise Bill O'Brien than he has Pete Golding. I mean, when we asked Bill O'Brien about when we asked Saban about Bill O'Brien, he essentially said, I'm not going to evaluate anybody publicly, good, bad, or indifferent. But then I think the next week somebody asked him about Pete Golding, and he said, oh, he's done a really good job. So that was a public evaluation, I would say, of Pete
right.
Golding. And you can tell where there wasn't one with Bill O'Brien. And, yeah, it's a contract situation where his contract will be up. It's one of those things where you can just kind of see the two sides moving on more than it would be a firing per se. Like, I think Bill O'Brien can probably find a decent job somewhere else. You know, like you said, the NFL, the Patriots offense has been a train wreck. There's been a lot of speculation about what they'll do next at offensive coordinator because they don't have one up in New England, and I think that would still be a good fit for him. And but in terms of the overall staff, yeah, I mean, special teams have been an issue at some points, and you can kind of see Nick Saban on the sideline talking to Coleman Hutzler. After those two big miscues they had in that last game, or three really, I mean, you talk about the Emmanuel Henderson kickoff return at the very beginning, that was a little bit of a mess, and then the punt that went off of Kendrick Law's helmet, I think it was, and then you had Malachi Moore who had that face mask on a punt return. Like, there were some issues in special teams, so... I, at the same time, I don't know if Nick just wants to just clean house on the staff when he just brought in a bunch of new guys last year. And, you know, you're trying to find guys who know the program and know what you want to do. It's going to be harder to do that if you're cleaning house and bringing in guys from the outside. So I don't see, like, a clean sweep of the staff at all. I think it's probably more two or three guys here or there.
Mike Rodak, who covers the Alabama beat, at Mike Rodak on Twitter, joining us for a few more moments on the Bud Light Hotline. I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you can go, you can go individual player, you can go coach, you can go side of the ball, position group, wherever you want to go, Mike. But based on what you thought and assumed coming into the season, and we know what assuming does to all of us, we're all guilty of it. But what would be the biggest surprise about this Alabama football team for 2022? The biggest surprise based on what you thought prior to the season and how you thought things would go?
Yeah, I think it's the receivers. And I think that's still problem area number one for this team that has held them back from winning games. That, I mean, if they had a Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle against Tennessee, they might score 56 points in that game and win 56-52. Just getting to that 50-point mark and when you're playing a close game like that, like think back to the Ole Miss game 2 years ago. It was at 63-48. Even when there's a shootout, you always had those wide receivers to rely, to kind of fall back upon and rely upon. And they don't have that this year. And, you know, maybe you can say Ja'Cory Brooks here and there has made some plays. It hasn't been consistent enough. He doesn't seem dominant enough as a player. Jermaine Burton made a few plays the last couple games. One of them was just a complete busted coverage on Austin Peay's part. And then you have six freshmen, I think, what, three sophomores total, where – you just don't see, you see flashes here and there, and a guy makes a play in this game and then kind of goes quiet the next few games, but you don't see that emerging sort of star like you saw early on with some of those guys 4 or 5 years ago. And that's the biggest difference. When you build a team around your receivers and around your passing game and around your quarterback, you need the receivers to do it. This is not a team that was built to run the ball 50 times a game or play complete absolute shutdown defense, and it's hard to do that in college football these days. So, I mean, that's what they needed. I don't think they got it. You know, I think we assume that Jermaine Burton and Tyler Harrow be big parts of this offense. Obviously, Burton was a bigger part. I don't know if he was a bigger contributor than what we've, you know, obviously going back to last year is what they got in transfer portal from Jamison Williams. So that's the biggest issue, biggest surprise for me, and that's something that I don't think something going to change this Saturday either.
So I asked you about the staff. And I know it's very difficult to predict what 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old guys are going to do once December 5th hits. Do you anticipate that this roster is probably going to have the biggest turnover that we have seen since Nick Saban has been there?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. There's just a decent amount of guys going into the draft for starters, even before you get into the portal. And I do think, you know, Saban even alluded to it last week on his radio show saying, you know, amount of guys going to the portal just to kind of see what's out there and see what sort of offers NIL-wise other teams might be making for them. And then maybe you go back and use that as leverage against Alabama. That's the way it's going to work. I think everybody understands that. So even if guys go into the portal, maybe you can get them back. But and you could see guys going to the portal even sooner than December 5th, because if you're a grad transfer, then you're eligible to go in any time. So you may have guys that go in on Sunday after the Iron Bowl and then another wave that go in once the transfer window for undergraduates opens on December 5th. But I'd be surprised if it's single digits. Like, I think we're talking double-digit guys going to the portal, just like it was last year. And, yeah, I do think overall, when you're looking at the roster turnover for next year, it's probably in the 30-35% range overall when you're looking at your team. And that's just how college football is. And I think that's probably going to be a yearly occurrence.
And finally, Mike, who starts at quarter? I'm just kidding. I was thinking about next year. Is it going to be? That will be something that will be addressed, I'm sure, right after.
Well, it depends
the ball game
on who goes in the portal.
Well, that's right. I mean, is it going to be Milroe? Is it going to be Ty Simpson? Is everybody happy there? You know, Bryce Young. Could he come back and try to? No, I'm just kidding.
I think you know the answer to that.
I absolutely know the answer. And if not, then he needs to be counseled. Mike, I'm not asking for a particular prediction. You can give one as far as score for the game, but how do you think things will unfold inside of BDS on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm not anticipating a 45-38 game. I think it's probably a little bit lower scoring. I think Alabama just kind of does what it needs to do offensively, which is kind of done in a lot of games this year. And maybe there's not these big explosive plays, but they're able to kind of move the ball downfield and make a couple scoring plays here and there. And that would probably be enough. Yeah, I don't think it's a one score game, but I think it's probably a little bit smaller than what the spread would suggest at this point. Maybe a 14-18 point game somewhere in there, and, you know, just kind of move on, and we'll have to see what happens after that. I don't know if this is going to be a 100% complete team that's playing likely in Miami in the Orange Bowl, it seems like right now, against Clemson, but we'll have to see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, speaking of shaking out, I just have to ask you this. Let's just say that Lane Kiffin accepts the job at Auburn. Are you kind of just selfishly, as a beat writer who covers Alabama, knowing the relationship between Lane and Nick, kind of hoping for that to happen just for sheer entertainment value?
I mean, even as coach at Ole Miss, I would say 10% of our weekly headlines on AL.com have to do with Lane Kiffin. it's good business.
It is good business. It is.
So I can only imagine what it would be like if he was the Auburn coach. So, yeah, I mean, it would be interesting. Although I will say, like, Lane, I think he's funnier, or he's more provocative on Twitter, I would say, than he is in some of his press conferences.
Oh,
like,
no
I
doubt.
Don't know. I've listened to some of them, and it's like he's very coach speaky, and then you get on Twitter, and he's the complete opposite. So you never really know what to expect with him.
Just being around the folks that cover Alabama, and maybe just some of the people you talk to around the Alabama program, do they anticipate that he will be the next head coach at Auburn?
Not really something I've broached, to be honest, but I wouldn't be shocked if they're anticipating it. And if it is, it is. I mean, I don't know if it will affect what they do too much, but personally, like, that's what I would expect. But again, I don't have too much going on down there in the plains. If there's enough going on up here in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You want to stay out of all that, Mike. Just don't do it. And it was a perfect segue, by the way. You said Lane Kiffin and Coach Speaky, and that's actually going to be our next segment. So I appreciate you setting us up, and you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Are you doing the cooking, or is wife doing the cooking?
Definitely not me. I'll be probably watching some basketball that day and the next day and right. 2 days after that. And it's a busy week. It's just crazy how Thanksgiving is so jam-packed with Alabama sports every single year, but just the way it is.
That's the way it is. Hey, Mike, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thank you for everything you do for us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Rodak joining us. He covers the Crimson Tide at AL.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Mike Rodak. Always an interesting follow, and he does a great job of covering the Alabama beat. All of our guests join us on the Bud Light Hotline. You can enjoy that Bud Light maybe while you're watching the games, whether it's basketball or football on Thanksgiving. Nothing washes down that turkey and dressing like Bud Light. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there.
You said coach speak, right?
Yeah, we're going to do that next.
We're going to hear from Lane Kiffin, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
We got a little Cadillac. Got a little goat, little Nick Saban.
All right.
Not little Nick Saban. We're just going to have a little clip
I see
of
what
Nick
you
Saban.
Did.
I just don't want to be misquoted.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do. Damien.
He is the truth, though.
He's still taller than Damien. That's next here on Three Man Front.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Three Man Front, weekdays.
Right here on Jax.
Jax 94.5.
Iron Bowl week here on Jax 94.5. You can hear the game Saturday right here. I want to tell everybody about Drain Right Guttering, 205-664-9828. I was out there yesterday afternoon getting the leaves up off my backyard, and I noticed some of my neighbors, they got debris, they've got limbs, they've got leaves, and they also do not have coverings on their gutters. And I've been telling them, you need to call 205-664-9828, drainrightguttering.com. That's the website. Drain Right Guttering, the exclusive distributor of Gutter Glove Pro Gutter Guards. For a free quote, go to drainrightguttering.com. Do not let that debris on your roof or those leaves cause damage to the most important, the biggest investment you're ever going to have, and that's your home. So drainrightguttering.com, 205-664-9828.
Well, Mike Rodak alluded to it. He teased it. This is Coach Pete, presented by our friends at Pat's Archery and Outdoors.
They said, what?
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
For one thing, their fat little girlfriends are telling them what they want to hear, which is how great you are.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Damn sick and tired of getting all rebounded. 25 offensive rebounds. First time we block out, we get called for a damn block out.
And now, Pat's Archery brings you Coach Speak.
All you need for gun season is at Pat's Archery. They're going to have you ready with the Christensen Ridgeline and Ridgeline FFT rifles, optics, including Vortex and Leupold, offering 12-month same-as-cash financing. Pat's Archery and Outdoors, Highway 78 in Jasper, or at patsarchery.com. Lane Kiffin, after his Ole Miss Rebels, let's be frank, just got their butts kicked in Fayetteville on Saturday. Here's the exchange, and of course, the reporter has to ask him about Auburn.
With the reports out there that you're Auburn's number one target, I know that's a lot of noise, but what does the future hold for you? What does the future hold for Ole Miss?
Yeah, fair question. Like I said, I love being here. I don't want to look to next year already with a game, regular season game, but this is not one of those years where you say, oh, we're going to lose all these guys. There's a lot of people coming back, a lot of new guys offensively especially. So very excited about the future. So I don't know all that stuff out there, number one and stuff. Maybe they watch the first half, it wouldn't be number one anymore. All right, William, I'm there.
Yeah. Lane Kiffin, finding a way to smile. I guess you can when you're down 42-6, and you've kind of already put that one to bed, even though Ole Miss was able to score 21 fourth quarter points. So do we get an announcement if we do, whether he's staying or whether he's going? They play the Egg Bowl 6 o'clock at home on Thursday. Do we get an announcement Friday? Do we get it Saturday after the Iron Bowl? Do we get Sunday, or does it go into next week? But speaking of the future, the Black Friday inventory clearance sale is on this week at Pat's Archery and Outdoors. Guns, rifles, hunting gear, tons of merchandise on sale. I'd rather sell it than count it. Oh, I know that. Doing inventory. Whew. During the Black Friday inventory clearance sale. This week at Pat's Archery and Outdoors, Highway 78 in Jasper. How about Nick Saban? All he's thinking about is the next game, the process. Beating Austin Peay 34-0. Here's Nick Saban.
I was really pleased with the way that the team came out and played today. Thought we controlled the line of scrimmage and, you know, had over 500 yards of total offense. They only had 200 yards or something like that. You know, defense got a couple really key stops after we turned the ball over a couple times in the first quarter in the red zone. So it's always great to get a shutout. You know, like to have scored more points. But we got to play a lot of players. I thought Jace McClellan played really well, you know, Burton had a really good day today, and I thought Bryce did a nice job. So all in all, we wanted to build on the momentum of, you know, how we came back and played at the end of last week's game, and, you know, obviously that's something that I thought we did a good job of today. So it wasn't perfect. We had some guys out, but other guys got opportunity to get experience, and I think that's probably a good thing for our team.
That was Nick Saban after a victory. He talked about the defense. Did you realize this? That right now, the Alabama's defense is currently number two in the SEC. They finished number two last year in total defense in the SEC. The year before that, when they actually won the national championship, they were third in the SEC.
Yeah, number two. because they're just a bunch of poo on defense is what they are. They're terrible. Fire that guy. Fire him. Why does he still have a job?
So we'll see if Pete Golding will survive. The people that I talked to, this is not going to make a lot of people happy. The people I talked to in Tuscaloosa, they don't anticipate
Pete Golding going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. Mike Rodak talked about it. Well, I don't really evaluate them publicly. And then he goes on. And by the way, he's a hell of a recruiter.
Yes, he is.
He is a hell of a recruiter. So before you want to throw him out, unless you want to keep him on the staff, is this your chief recruiting liaison or whatever? Pete Golding, and I've talked to a lot of coaches that have crossed his path from other schools. They do not like going up against Pete Golding.
So as we continue with coach speak.
Oh, I just really went out of my
way. Why'd you get red ass?
I don't know. I feel bad about his kid going to school, knowing his dad apparently is terrible. That's what
Brian Harsin's kid?
No. Oh. Apparently Pete Golding's kids.
Oh.
So I told you last hour about that conspiracy theory that was out there that's going on with Jeremy Banks, the linebacker for Tennessee. Remember I told you about that?
Mm-hmm.
About supposedly he stepped on the power tee there in the locker room, and the kangaroo court on the team told him he was going to have to do some push-ups or run stadiums or whatever.
Leadership council or the accountability council.
And he basically told them to, you know.
Go pound off. Sand.
Yeah, whatever. And apparently Hinton Hooker had a problem with it, and then Milton slugged him. That's the conspiracy theory.
I like that. That's teamwork.
And that's why Jeremy Banks was not there.
But if he broke his jaw, I mean, he's not going to be suiting up, right?
Well, just let me get to this coach speak.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, he got wound up over Golding.
I know, and
he's excited now.
He's worried about the guy got his jaw wired up for the Vandy game.
Milkshakes for you on Thanksgiving.
Josh Heupel, moments ago. His weekly press conference. This is what Josh Heupel had to say about this conspiracy. What is going on Rocky Top?
There's a lot of speculation about Jeremy Banks. I'm hoping you can just add some clarity to this. Did he get in an altercation with a teammate? Was he suspended for the South Carolina game? Is he available for Vandy?
We anticipate Jeremy being with us here this week. And as far as what transpired and those types of things, at the end of the day, he wasn't available this Saturday.
I'm just reading between the lines here, but
toting that whipped ass to Vandy.
I think he got whipped in the locker room. That's what I think. Because if not, why was? Oh, that's just ridiculous. No, that's not what happened.
Golly,
he just wasn't available.
If he was a receiver, now that Joe Milton is going to be the starting quarterback, that would be weird. Of course, Joe Milton, he tries to kill people with a football, anyways, when he throws.
My goodness.
Very, very interesting, to say the least. Auburn's run game, it was pretty good. Not quite 300 yards, but you had two running backs in Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter go for over 100 yards. Jarquez Hunter, actually a pass, well-thrown pass, to Coy Moore in the end zone on the trick play for 20 yards. Cadillac Williams, Coach Carnell Williams of Auburn, after the game, and what he thought about that duo.
That's music in my ears now. You know, to be able to see them guys feed off each other and to be a former player who at once lived that life, I could see running out there, running hard, make a great play. I was so happy and excited for him. But boy, I wanted action too. Just made me want to go out there and run that harder. And I told Tank when we signed Jarquez, and I seen him out a couple of days, I said, hey, 27 is going to be the best thing to happen to you. Not saying that, other guys can't play, but to have a young man like Jarquez Hunter who confident in himself, this bold, that work his tail off, workaholic, that want to get better, It rubs off in that whole room. Guys are workaholic. Guys, character is A1. Like, it don't get too much better than that young man. Selfless. Team guy. Just ran a 35-yard touchdown and right back on kickoff. Just quiet. Go about his business. Work his tail off. I love to see them two guys rumbling, man. Love it. I love that 1-2 punch. Love it.
They're going to need a lot of that on Saturdays. 21-point underdogs heading into the Iron Bowl. there in Tuscaloosa. That is Coach Speak. Once again, the Black Friday inventory clearance sale is on this week at Pat's Archery and Outdoors. Guns, rifles, hunting gear, tons of merchandise on sale. They would rather sell it than count it during the Black Friday inventory clearance sale this week at Pat's Archery and Outdoors, Highway 78 in Jasper. What coaches are going to be firmly on the hot seat to begin the 2023 season? Pat asks the question next, and Pat ponders.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Three-man hunt. Weekdays.
Right here on Jax.
Jax 94.5.
Are you getting ready for the World Cup today? USA is playing. Is it at noon
been
or
ready
1
for
o'clock,
4 years,
John?
Pat.
What time is the USA?
Well, 8 years, really.
I believe it
kicks at 2. I think they'll start covering it at 1.
All right.
What's your biggest gripe about watching soccer?
You can't use your hands.
Yeah. I don't like how the clock goes up instead of down.
Just pause the clock. Just stop it. Like, why do you? Well, extra time. We don't know how much extra time. There might be 4 minutes. There might be 7 minutes.
Do you find yourself trying to keep up?
No.
And estimating how much injury time is
there? I care nothing about it.
No, I saw the goal.
The Dutch and their orange.
Tennessee is now leading
1-0
over Senegal. Hmm. We've had several athletes that have come from Senegal. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where Mamadou Ndiaye came from.
Yep.
And Dakar, Senegal.
I think UAB had a basketball player.
I believe you're right. Several. Hmm. Don't nobody love you like your Mamadou. That's what they used to say about the big 7'1" Mamadou Ndiaye. How about Chuck Davis? He is a great guy. I'm sure he's getting ready for Thanksgiving. He's a family guy. But Chuck Davis Law, chuckdavislaw.com. He's a general practice lawyer. He handles cases involving divorce, custody, wills, probate, contracts, personal injury, auto and truck accidents. Even if you think your case is small, give Chuck a call. He may be able to help. You want to talk Iron Bowl with him this week? I'm sure he'd be glad to. He's going to answer the phone when the phone is answered there in the office. Why don't you just try it out? Test it out today. See if you can talk to Chuck. 205-823-9992. And your initial consultation is free. Chuck Davis Law, chuckdavislaw.com. No representation is made. The legal services provided are superior to the legal services provided by other lawyers. Five questions always come from Pat. One, dealing with the hot seat for 2023. This is Pat Pondus.
I want to know what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your mind.
It's time for Pat Ponders.
Brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals. Don't get on the roof. They will inspect it for you. They will climb up that ladder. They will tell you if you're good to go, maybe you need a repair like I did or a replacement like Pat got. Alabama Roofing Professionals are going to warranty all the work they do. 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com.
All right, question number one. Outside of Jimbo Fisher, is there a coach in the SEC you would view as being on the hot seat going into 2023?
All right. Saban is safe.
Good call.
Sam Pittman is safe.
All right.
Besides Jimbo. Kelly's going to be safe. I'm sorry. I have to go through this. I would say Mike Leach could potentially be on the hot seat.
Even though he just signed a new contract.
Yes, Mike Leach will not be on the hot seat.
Well, just because he signed a contract,
I know,
doesn't
because
mean
I
that...
look at Jimbo's situation, and then if it gets really, really bad, but Mississippi State fans, you don't think they're pulling for Lane to go and take that Auburn job, do you? I would say out of the SEC East, because I would have said Missouri and Eli, that would have been the easiest, but he got the new deal.
Mark Stoops just got a new deal. They're going to be
down
this
year.
I'll
say this. He's not going to start on the hot seat, but if Billy Napier.
That was the one I was thinking of.
If you see them struggle getting out of the gate, you don't see marked improvement, you're going to hear that because Scott Strickland is, Well, he's tied to him, but he might be thin ice as well, and they might just clear out that entire athletic department.
And keep in mind, they have to go to Utah next year.
Yeah, that's not fun.
To start the season. How about you, John? Anybody outside of Jimbo?
No one's gonna, besides Jimbo, will start the season on it. Because everyone else at least is well enough to where, even though they may or may not have gotten contract extensions, everything is going to be fine at least come week one. So Jimbo's really the only one that's kind of suffering with that. Depending on how the season goes, again, no one will start on it. However, I would not be surprised if you start to hear a lot more complaints from Alabama fans if the season next year goes eerily similar to this year. But he's not going to start on it. But depending on how they play in their bowl game, there could be a lot more rumblings than there should be, especially when there's going to be a quarterback situation heading into the season.
You're talking about Nick?
Yeah.
Okay. Question number two. Which of these overreactions from the SEC this weekend is the closest to being actually true? Tennessee was overrated. Vandy has finally turned the corner, or the SEC is down this year. Which one of those overreactions from the weekend is the closest to being true? Tennessee overrated. Vandy has finally turned the corner. SEC is just overall down this year.
I think that Vandy has turned the corner.
Okay. Not championship caliber that Clark Lee was talking about.
No, but turning the corner for Vandy is even having the conversation of them possibly getting to a bowl game. You know, winning six games. That's an achievement. James Franklin was able to do it. How many did Derek Mason actually? Derek Mason went to what? One, I think.
Bobby Johnson went to.
Yeah, he
maybe
did.
One. Two.
But for Vandy to even be in the conversation, not finishing 3-9 or, you know, 2-10 every year, 4-8, yeah, I don't think they're far away.
John, how about you?
Being a 6-win team.
It might be that the SEC is down. Only because there's one championship contender at the moment. Usually there's two. And had a couple of other teams not messed around and found out, arguably could have had three at least championship contenders. Whether or not Tennessee would have actually made it in, I mean, I honestly don't think they would have, but being five right there, I mean, go back to 2020 with A&M, no one thought they'd actually get in, but you could still consider them a championship contender being 11-1, or I guess 9-1 in that season, being right there, being in the top five. So I would say that overall the SEC is down. Now, it's not that the teams are bad. It's just more so there's one elite team at the top as opposed to having two, and there are more teams right at that next tier.
Or you could just say Alabama is down, or you could make the argument that LSU is back, or you could also make the argument that Tennessee surprised some people and were better than expected. It's just how you look at it.
But that's why I would say that it's down, is that even though Alabama, yeah, is down, but Tennessee didn't take that place. LSU didn't take that place. Usually, if one team is down, someone else will take that place, and there's two teams at least at the top, but we don't have that right now.
Because the biggest conversation we had in the offseason is who is the third best team in the league, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, whoever's going to be the third best team, that's going to kind of dictate how that league is viewed as a whole.
And you can argue it's Alabama.
Yeah. So you look at the fact that you're going to an SEC championship game, that so many things have to happen for LSU to be that possible second team of the conference to get into the college football playoff. That's something that we have just not seen in the history of the CFP with that happening. So it's just, I would probably have to say out of those three, I'm not sure Vandy's 100% back. I think Tennessee was a good football team. They were just not ready for the prime time, so to speak. You could tell against Georgia,
right?
And you definitely the other night, because teams are going to give you their best shot when they play a top five team, and that's what Tennessee had. I'm going to go SEC's down this year.
Yeah, you can't overrate Tennessee when they beat LSU on the road and beat Alabama. No, they're not overrated.
I think that this is not the Alabama team we've seen in the past. Texas A&M was a preseason number six in America. They're not even going to make a bowl game. Florida didn't make those inroads that you thought they would.
Arkansas fell apart late.
Yeah.
I refuse to accept that the SEC is down because I'm an SEC homer.
Okay, well, that's fine.
You know what? I mean, it does just mean more.
All right.
And I kiss my SEC logo every night before I go to bed.
It means more losses that you expected.
Well, mate. You call them losses. I call them learning moments.
Either way, still begins with a big old L.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. So the next time somebody shows you the L, just know that they could mean it in a positive way.
All right, so learning question number three, we're going to kind of parlay what we just talked about. So if the SEC is considered down this year, where does the SEC rank, in your opinion, amongst the Power Five?
I would, if I have to come to terms with the fact that they are down, I will say that they would be, I can't put them behind the Big Ten.
You can't?
Mm-mm.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
The Big Ten's got two teams.
I don't care.
In the top four.
Look who they played. Absolutely nobody.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not going to agree with you on that. But yes, if you want to make the argument, because I can't put the Big 12 above them. I can't put the Pac 12. I certainly can't do the ACC. They'd come at North Carolina. Okay.
You see my point?
Yes.
Well, you don't like admitting that I was right.
No, if you're right, it's just, I'm very interested to see what happens with that Ohio State-Michigan game. Wow. And what happens with the committee and how they view Michigan or Ohio State after they get beat. Because I think that could be trending.
All right, so you got Big Ten 1,
yeah.
SEC 2.
Yep, I will go.
When you have to go Pac-12 next?
Yeah, you got to go Pac-12 next. Then I'll go Big 12, then I'll go ACC.
Yeah, without a doubt, ACC is just, that's just hammered, you know what. That's just not good.
Dog poo.
Not good.
I still think I put SEC 1.
Do you?
I think
see,
so.
See, that's where I was kind of going.
Well, I'm asking him the same question I asked you.
Dadgummit.
Well, I'll give you a reason why, as opposed to just cowing down to pressure like Landrum just did.
Horse shark.
Because as obviously, Big Ten still has, the two best teams, but at least two national contenders. After that, it's a bigger drop-off. And if you look at the West, whichever the crappy your division is, it's a bunch of...
What are you talking about? Iowa has come on like gangbusters.
That whole division is at best Arkansas.
You're out of your mind.
Missouri's looking at that division and laughing.
Well, that's probably true.
But yes, the SEC is still top to bottom better than the Big Ten. But you made me go.
Oh, it took him 2 seconds to be infiltrated by John Saber.
No, not at all. I refuse to believe it. SEC does just mean more.
Okay. Mm.
Commissioner Sankey, I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All of the people listening in the office, including your lovely assistant, you have a wonderful holiday. It just means more. I'll give you my address off the air. Matt McLaren, he's next.
This is Three Man Front on Jax 94.5.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.